Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Imagine you're living in a house with several roommates, and it's one of those long weekends where you're all starting to get on each other's nerves a little. Now, imagine that long weekend's 365 days, and you can't leave the house because it's on Mars. Getting along well becomes a highly desirable ability, that and staying alive in a rather hostile alien environment. Such are some of the issues faced in NASA's High Seas Project, which stands for Hawaii Space Exploration Analog and Simulation. And Tristan Bassingthwaite just spent a year in the fourth iteration of the High Seas program, and he joins us in studio. Aloha, Tristan.
Aloha.
So, how'd you get along?
Oh, very well. Most of the time, you guys have, things we're doing together, geotasks, research, that sort of thing. Personal time, you can go outside in the suits if you've requested it beforehand. Personal projects, a lot of us learn to cook or dance or do exercise, so always something to do.
So it's a co-ed crew of six?
Yeah, three guys, three girls. We've each got extraordinarily small rooms at the top of the dome, and most of the day is spent working or just running around trying to get science done.
When you have all the projects going together, because this essentially is going to be as close as possible to the simulation of what it's really going to be like when it happens, fingers crossed and rockets working and everything else. So the 8,200-foot level of Mauna Loa is pretty close in terms of, I imagine, how they're going to pressurize the habitat on Mars. It's about the same atmosphere?
Give or take. It's more up there just to get away from everybody. Mm-hmm. And then the actual habitat, due to Mars having about one bar of pressure, will be pressurized to something high up, sort of like an airplane is a much higher pressure just to keep your dome or everything from popping. You don't want to fill it with too much air.
That's the truth. Do you guys... I imagine most of you have seen the movie The Martian.
Oh, yeah. After it came out and actually got on DVD, one of the resupply drops brought it up and we got to watch it. So that was a lot of fun.
So what do you think the actual mechanics that you're working on? You're in architecture.
Yeah.
So you're there watching how everybody's interrelating and how can I better improve the interior?
Exactly. Seeing how people get along with the social component, being in such a small space together. There's also the isolation and what that does to people. We don't get to see anyone for the entire year. Our extreme environment was the lava fields. So it was interesting if you're a geologist, but it's still very barren. Actually, on Mars, you're going to have solar radiation, a lack of atmosphere. The skies won't even be blue, so it'll be even more psychologically stressful. So I'm actually trying to design to make that much more bearable through, say, artificial weather, virtual reality, materials, interior programming, how to make a home away from home as small as possible, essentially.
So when you're doing all this stuff in your mind, what do you're sitting there, you've got the space, this is what they think is good. So everybody is kicking in on how can you improve it. Hey, Tristan, you're the architect. What can you do to make it better?
Oh, yeah. And there's some of the things I could have done to change things. Soundproofing could have been nicer. definitely. Just even when you're trying to sleep, you can hear somebody walking in the other end of the habitat. Private spaces can be much more important than you might guess when you actually can't get away from people. So changing the programming so there's maybe a couple little nooks where you could hide and read a book. Anything you can do to sort of give people a sense of space. If I can't see somebody, I can pretend they're farther away.
Do you go ahead and actually simulate the lag in communication time from the distance to Earth? So if you communicate, they build in the delay time?
Oh, yeah. It's built into all email, all communications. We have virtually no internet whatsoever, just access to Wikipedia, since you can download the entire site and upload it wherever you'd like. And in a sort of quasi-emergency, you could get onto, like, banking or something like that. But essentially, the whole of humanity is at least 20 minutes out and 20 minutes back.
So that length of time really brings home the reality. Did you ever reach the point psychologically where it's not a simulation?
There's some points where you can see the wind rippling over the habitat. You look out and Mauna Kea is right there. You can see the satellites. Like, you're very aware you are on Earth, if only because the gravity is Earth gravity.
Yeah.
But you still have the overwhelming sort of isolation, confinement. You can't go outside ever unless you've actually requested an EVA with suits. So the psychological stressors and how you actually behave on mission is extremely accurate, even if the environment has to have, just because we're here, some changes.
What sort of pre-screening for personality evaluations go through for candidates?
You've got the sort of online general screening to make sure the basics of sound mind and body can actually get along to an extent with others. Probably anything you might have for a government job, for example.
I notice I did not ask the very first question on a lot of people's minds. I'll just put it this way. So NASA's policy is still don't ask, don't tell?
Yeah, pretty much.
We'll leave it at that for that particular iteration of the program. But how about you individually and the members that are in the experiments? Are you actually candidates for Mars missions?
It can depend. I actually can't apply for NASA as my degree is design-related, not a STEM field. Mm-hmm. Other people who have done, say, medicine, engineering, mathematics, that sort of thing, you actually could get in for, say, payload specialist, that sort of thing. So eventually, yeah, maybe.
What sort of dates are we looking at as a possible start for the entire adventure?
Really, it depends on funding and proving a few pretty close technologies.
For example, I mean, so much of the original NASA that we worked with, it was the government did everything, and now it's going into a lot of private enterprise. Do you see any evidence where it's going to be more private than governmental? Or
yeah, I remember reading, and do not remember the source, about NASA claiming the next space station will be privately built, and then they'll rent out space on it. SpaceX's reusable rockets have already brought the cost of sending things incredibly lower. Bigelow Aerospace has inflatable habitats that are being tested right now on ISS. 10 years from now, most of space travel will probably be private sector.
Is there any way, for example, a fairly practical defense, I guess, would be, you know, with Mars's 1 millibar atmosphere, there's not a lot of slowdown for meteor strikes. Are there thoughts of hardening domes in space or using available technology?
The interesting thing with the inflatable modules is due to the tensile strength of the fabric and Kevlar and everything, they're actually twice as strong as our normal hard-shelled modules. So you could shoot them with a gun and nothing would happen. They're like concrete.
So the muzzle velocity, what forces mv squared, as I recall. So it's important to... Okay, well, let's see. That bullet was moving at about 600 miles per hour. That was moving at about 18,000. What do we do here?
On Mars, the actual atmosphere is extremely thin, but moving at those speeds, it feels extraordinarily heavy. It will take care of virtually any sort of particle from space or rock. Something big could obviously get through, and hopefully you're in a skylight or lava tube for that. But generally, the thing you're worried about is radiation.
Okay, well, as we say, y'all be careful out there. And Tristan, it's been a delight talking to you. This is an example of the time-space discontinuum, because this 7 minutes flew by in about a subjective 7 seconds. So I think I'd get along with you in studio.
Thank you.
Glad to see you. Best of luck in whatever you do in architecture, and we hope to see you again soon. Tristan Bassingthwaite is an architectural PhD candidate at UH Manoa, holds a master's in architecture from Shanghai's Tongji University, and is working on the next generation Mars habitat concepts. See our first Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation, for more details. Is there life on Mars?